is the Scripture-Driven Church broadcast brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
On our last broadcast, we presented the first part of a message dealing with the greatest privilege of the believer in Christ. That privilege is our access to the throne room of heaven through the intercession of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit as we come before the Lord in prayer. That priceless privilege will be our focus again today on this edition of the Scripture-Driven Church broadcast. But we are going to look into a very glorious aspect of the Christian's relationship with the persons of the Godhead in prayer that is not very often preached about in our time. Once again, I hope you will stay with us for the next few minutes and listen carefully. I invite you to open your Bible to Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Before we look into God's Word together, let us look to Him in prayer. Our Father, Your Word tells us that eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Father, may Your Spirit, through Your Word, reveal marvelous things to each listener today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words to the Galatian believers, and they are written to us also. He said this, verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." We have the right in Christ, and by the indwelling of the Spirit, Paul is saying, the right and privilege to cry out to God. Crying out for mercy, crying out for help in time of need, crying out not only for our own needs personally, but for the needs of our families. Crying out for the needs of our church, for our fellow believers. Crying out over the sin of our nation. And crying out, yes, even over the sins of the church. And also crying out in the same way, as we'll see, to God in love and in praise. So this is the nature of the believer's cry that Paul is speaking of. We have this privilege of crying out to God in every circumstance, in every need, and also crying out to express our love and our gratitude for what He's done and for who He is. Now, the second thing that it's important for us to understand here is, who does the crying out? Notice again verse 6. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Now, if you'll keep your place in Galatians, I'd like for you to turn with me for a moment back to the book of Romans, to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15. Paul says this. Romans 8, 15. He says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Same kind of words he used to the Galatian believers. "But," he says, "you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Now, Is there a contradiction here? No, there's no contradiction. That's not the case at all. What's the explanation? In one passage we have the Apostle Paul saying that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit cries out. In Romans he says, we've received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out. Which is it? Well, it's both. And we have the explanation in the next verse in Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And we have further explanation down in verse 22 and 23 of Romans 8. Paul says this. This is something that we saw in another place this morning. Verse 22, he says, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, that is, for the consummation of our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Well, here's the explanation. We cry out to God because we're still living in sinful, decaying bodies. We're living in a sinful, decaying world. This world that's under the curse is not an easy place for a Christian to live in, and it's getting less easy all the time. Especially for the Christian, especially for the adopted sons of God. We're no longer at home here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then we're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the statement that we have here in Galatians chapter 4 is expressing the thought, God sent forth His Son, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And then Romans 8, we've received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Here's the picture. When we cry out to God, when we cry out for His mercy, when we cry out in fear, in need, in desperation, in torment of our souls about the condition of our country, or when we cry out in the deepest praise, in all of these times of crying out, God the Holy Spirit is uttering the cry with us. That's the picture. God the Holy Spirit is enabling and energizing that crying out. God the Holy Spirit is interceding, as we read in Romans 8. We cry out to God under the interceding power and authority of God the Holy Spirit. And what does Paul tell us in Romans 8? Further on, he says this. After he's told us that the Spirit makes intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered, in Romans 8:27, he says this. He says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He who searches the hearts, who is it? He who makes intercession, who is it? He's speaking here of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking here of the dual intercession of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit on behalf of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit is interceding. The Son is interceding. God the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with God the Son. God the Holy Spirit articulates things that we cannot articulate. The Holy Spirit cries out for us, and the Spirit enables and articulates our own crying out. And Paul says that Jesus, the one who searches the hearts, the one who knows what the mind of the Spirit is, who's living within us, is therefore making intercession for the saints with the Father according to the will of God. And because of all this is true, Because of the truth of all these things, we come to Romans 8:28, that familiar verse. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. And it's because of all this that we're told a few verses yet onward in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? And keep in mind, Paul's writing to people who were under the Roman emperors, who were some of the worst men you can imagine. Caligula, Nero, men like that. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That great inheritance of the adopted sons of God. That inheritance is still secure no matter what man does. And then a few verses further on in Romans 8, we're told that nothing in the entire created order, nothing in the entire spiritual realm can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, not angels, not principalities or powers, not anything present, not anything to come, not any height, not any depth. Not any other created thing. Paul just piles the words on. And he says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let us not only take note of the fact that we can cry out, and that we cry out together with the Spirit living within us, but also take note of the fact of what it is that we may cry out. Those two words that are given to us here, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, what does that mean? Well, Paul's doing something interesting here. He's bringing two words together. The word Abba was a Hebrew word. It was one of the first words that a Hebrew infant would utter. Daddy. Papa. That's a literal rendering of the word in Hebrew. It was a term in the Hebrew language that indicated the unquestioning trust in the love and care of a parent, of a little child. And then the Apostle Paul, both here in Romans and in Galatians, he couples the word Abba with the word Father. And what's he doing? He's explaining two aspects of the believer's relationship with God the Father as an adopted son. The word Abba indicates that unquestioning childlike trust. And the word Father indicates an intelligent understanding of the nature of the relationship and an intelligent understanding of the nature of God the Father. An intelligent understanding of our position of privilege as the adopted sons of the Father in Christ, having the spirit of adoption living within us. The picture that we have in these two words coupled together, Abba, Father, is that of a trusting child climbing up in the lap of a loving father to tell the father exactly what's on his heart. And that is our enormous privilege as believers in Christ. Our enormous privilege as the adopted sons of God. You can speak to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit on the most intimate and personal terms about anything. You are to come before your loving father as a trusting child. His church is to come before its father collectively as a trusting church. You can't possibly bore your heavenly father with anything that you would have to say, with any cry of your heart. It is the privilege of the adopted sons of God to cry out to their father and to tell him anything and everything that's on our hearts. He knows it already, but he wants to hear it from you. We can tell our Father the things that give us joy, thank Him for them. We can tell Him about the things that are worrying us, the things that hurt us, the things for which we're thankful, the things we need, our deepest thoughts, our deepest desires, the sins that we wrestle with, the family problems that we're wrestling with, perhaps under our own roof or perhaps within an extended family situation. We can bring all of these things to our loving Father. We can bring the state of our nation to our loving Father. And we can know without a doubt on the authority of his word that he will hear us with a heart of love and of kindness, and that he will do what is absolutely the best for us. He will work all things together for good. How many times have you ever said, "Oh, if I could only escape this situation"? But what has the Lord said to us? He said, "There's no temptation that's come to you except that which is common to man, but God's made a way of escape with the temptation so that you'll be able to bear it." Do you have times like this? Do you have times that you cry out to God like this? If you don't, you're missing out on one of the greatest privileges of the adopted sons of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, those familiar words, the writer encourages us. He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." And he says those words right after he says this. He tells us that we have in Christ one who has been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we could say much about those words also, but let me just focus our attention on one word here. Let us come boldly, boldly. It's not talking about coming brashly or presumptuously or without proper respect or reverence. But it does speak of two things about our coming to God. First of all, it speaks about how we may speak to the Lord. And second, the attitude with which we may come to him. The word boldly in the original language, it encompasses several things in addition to these, but let me focus on these two. It says that you may have freedom within the bounds of reverence as you approach God. You may be unreserved in your speech. You may, and indeed you should, speak to God openly, frankly, without concealment. And the word boldly also speaks of our attitude in coming to the throne of grace. It tells us that you may come with free and fearless confidence. That's literally what the word means. Let us come with free and fearless confidence and with cheerful courage, even in the most troubling and distressing situations, with assurance that as the adopted son of God, you have the right to come, and that God wants you to come, and that God wants to bestow upon you his grace to help in time of need. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the adopted sons of God are told to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's another passage that speaks of our adoption. Paul says that God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, as he calls him, the one who dwells within us, the one who witnesses with our spirits that we are the sons of God, that he's involved in this great conversation. And let me explain what Scripture means by this. When we come to our loving Father, as we cry out, "Abba, Father," the Holy Spirit is coming with us. And as we've seen in Romans chapter 8, the indwelling Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is making intercession for us and with us through our Savior, the second person of the Trinity, to the Father, the first person of the Trinity. Get a hold of this great fact. All three persons of the Godhead are involved in your exercise of the great privilege of prayer. You can cry out to God, and even things that you cannot articulate, even the things that in your flesh you can't properly express and present before your loving Father, even those things are clearly articulated in the most intimate possible terms before your Heavenly Father on your behalf. The persons of the Godhead are literally speaking with one another on your behalf as you pray and as the church prays. What a tremendous fact. What a tremendous privilege. And if you're an adopted son of God, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, He will work all things together for good. You can pray to your Heavenly Father about everything, at any time, in any place, in any situation. Remember that you, sitting here this evening, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the temple of the living God in this present world. And to cry out to God that we, in the midst of such circumstances, whatever it might be, an unsaved husband or wife that someone may be dealing with, a son or daughter who is straying from the faith or perhaps is not a believer, whatever the case may be, stand firm for the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Continue to bring it to the Lord. He will get glory to His name. Let's pray. Father, You've told us in Your word to set our minds on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You've told us that we have died, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. You have told us that You have given us the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit cries with us. And You have told us that when Christ, who is our life, appears, we also will appear with Him in glory, and that nothing in all the universe can change that. Oh, Father, this evening we cry out to You in praise and wonder and amazement that those things could be true and are indeed true for the likes of us, sinners as we are. Thank You for what You have done, Father. Thank You that You will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank You that Christ is on the throne in heaven and that the Spirit is on the throne in our hearts. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Dear friend, perhaps you have listened to today's message and you want to know more about the things we spoke of. Perhaps these things are truths that you've never heard before. Perhaps you are a Christian and you want to grow more deeply in your knowledge of these truths and learn more about prayer and about the ministry of the persons of the Godhead on your behalf. Or perhaps you're saying, I'm not sure I am a Christian. In either case, we are offering a free book which will be helpful to you. The title of the book is Profiting from the Word by Arthur W. Pink. This book addresses two critical questions. How much do you gain from your reading of Scripture? And how can you learn to profit more from God's Word? If you would like to receive a free copy of this book, simply tell us that you would like the book called Profiting from the Word. We're sending this book to anyone who requests it, anywhere in the world, free and postage paid, while supplies last. Listeners in North America can call us toll-free anytime at 888-804-9655. Listeners anywhere in the world can write to us at Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Or you can use the contact page on our website, teachingtheword.org. Once again, our phone number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. Our mailing address worldwide is Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And our website is teachingtheword.org. And don't forget to tell us that you are interested in receiving a free copy of the book called Profiting from the Word. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for praying for this ministry. And until next time, May God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.